Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely, cool morning, nice and crisp?
I'm doing fine. I'm good.
Amen, amen. I just want to give a shout out again this morning. Yesterday I shouted out my niece Ariel. It was her birthday today. I shout out her parents, which are my sister and brother-in-law. Happy anniversary to Shantina and Gregory Lewis, and condolences to my pastor, Pastor Jesse Herring, and to the Medley family and Smalley family in the loss of Pastor Paul Herring. His daughter, Candace Herring, has passed away. Mother Valerie and I've talked on many occasions, no one is promised tomorrow, but we thank God for today. For this is truly the day that the Lord has made, and he has given us another day above the ground. So tell God thank you, and just let him know how much you appreciate the blessings of his love to give us another chance. But he is a God of many chances, and we are blessed to be his children. So just want to say, God, thank you. And today we have a prayer. You are love. You are love. He who does not love does not know God. To God, for God is love. And I have to say that one more time, 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And I am grateful for the love that God has for us, that he loved us enough to give us his son. And the word that God gave for today is, what is that to us? You see to it. You know, and the question is, what is that to us? That God loves us so much. See to it that we love others as God loved us. You know, that's not the context of the scripture, but we'll get into that this morning. But I just want to say, as we pray, God of kindness, your love knows no limit or boundaries. It is an infinite resource, more than a feeling and much more than I can rightly know. Your word says that you are love. It is your very character. What a wonderful mystery. There are so many expressions of this lavish, loyal love that I can see in my life and all around me. The weight of your affection is staggering, and yet it is the most refreshing force on earth. It's like a cool breeze on a hot day and refreshing water in the desert. It is the strongest force in the universe. How could it not be if it is who you are? You are so good. Let my life be filled with this love that demonstrates my identity as a child of the one true God. Increase my capacity. I know how high, how deep, how wide, how long is your love. It may be through the request to know it more, for who could know its length? Even so, Lord, I want more. And the question for this morning as we get ready to start is, where do you see the thread of God's love? And I see it in my children. I see it grandchildren. I see it in the children at church. I see it in life. I just see it because God loved me so much that he gave me a great love. He loved me so much that he still allows me to work for his kingdom. He loves me so much that when I asked for help, he gave me Mother Valerie. And so I am grateful to Mother Valerie for the love that she has given me and for just being an awesome, mighty woman of God. I thank God for the love in my church family as well. So we just thank God for his mighty, gracious love, for his kindness, for his grace, for his son, who loved us so much, gave his life for us. But guess what? We celebrate because he got back up and he took the keys of hell so that the enemy can't keep messing around in heaven. We thank God for the grace of Jesus and the great love that he has for us. Mother Valerie, again, I love you. I thank God for you. And good morning.
Good morning.
And today we are in the book of Exodus, chapter 39 and 40. We are in, morning are the 22nd Psalm, verses 16 through 21. Our proverb this morning is Proverb chapter 8, verses 22 through 31. And we are in Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 26 this morning. Mother Valerie will be coming forth in Exodus chapter 39 and 40. And, you know, she's got the great scripture, holiness to the Lord. Amen. We can't do nothing more to tell God thank you, for he is holy and he loves us like that. Heavenly Father God, Holy One, we thank you for your word today. We ask you to increase as we decrease. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength and redeemer. And it's in the precious and holy name of our Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you on this beautiful love day.
Amen. Good morning, people of God. Happy Valentine's Day. The temp is 30 degrees. I'm coming out of Exodus 39. Of the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord had commanded Moses. He made the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and a fine wooden linen. They beat the gold into thin sheets, cut it into threads to work it in with the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen into artistic design. They made shoulder straps for it to couple it together. It was coupled together at its two edges, and the woven band of his ephod that was on it was of the same workmanship, woven of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread in a fine woven linen, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they set oxen stones enclosed in setting of gold that was engraved as signets are engraved with the names of the son of Israel, put them on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the son of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate artistically woven like the workmanship of the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and a fine wooden linen. They made the breastplate square by doubling it. A span was its length, and a span its width when doubled. They set it in four rows of stones. A row with a sardis, a topaz, a emerald was the first row. The second row, a turquoise, sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a jacqueline, an agate, and an amethyst. fourth roll, a beryl, oxen, and a jasper. They were enclosed in setting of gold in their mountains. There were 12 stones according to the names of the son of Israel, according to their names, engraved like a signet, each one with his own name, according to the 12 tribes. And they made chains for the breastplate at the ends like braided cords of pure gold. They also made two settings of gold and two gold rings and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. They put the two braided chains of gold and the two rings on the end of the breastplate. The two ends of two braided chains they fastened in two settings, put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front, and they made two rings of gold, put them on the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which was on the inward side of the ephod, and made two other gold rings and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward its front, right at the seam above, woven band of the ephod. And they bind the breastplate for the means of its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it would be above the wooden band of the ephod, and that the breastplate would not come loose from the ephod, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Made the robes of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. There was an open in the middle of the robe, like the open in a coat of mail, with the woven binding all around the open so that it would not tear. Made on the hem of the robe, pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet, fine woven linen, and made belts of pure gold. He put the belts between the pomegranates on the hem of the robe all around between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate all around the hem of the robe to minister in as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made tunics woven of fine linen for Aaron and his sons, a turban of fine linen, exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers of fine woven linen, a sash for fine woven linen with blue, purple, and scarlet thread made by weaver, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote on it an inscription like the engraving of a signet, holiness, holiness to the Lord. They tied it to a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban as the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. Children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, and so they did. They brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent, with all of its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the covering of the ram skins dyed red, the covering of the badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of testimony with its poles, and the mercy seat, the table, all its utensils, showbread, the pure gold lampstand with its lamps, the lampstand in order, all its utensils, the oil for light, the gold altar, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the screen for the tabernacle door, the bronze altar, its grate of bronze, its poles, and all its utensils, the laver with its base, the hanging of the court, its pillars, its sockets, the screen for the court gate, its cords, its pegs, all utensils for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting, and the garments of ministry to minister in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his son, garments to minister as priests, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And so the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it, as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it. And Moses blessed them. Chapter 40. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you should set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You should put in it the ark of the testimony and partial off the ark with the veil. You should bring in the table and arrange the things ordered to be set in order on it. And you should bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. You should also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of testimony and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Then you should set the altar of the burnt offerings before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You should set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar and put water in it. You should set up the court all around and hang up the screen at the court gate. You should take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it. And you should hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering, all its utensils, consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy, and you shall anoint the laver and its base, consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle meeting, wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him, consecrate him that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons, clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anoint their father, that they may minister to me as priests. For the anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generation. Thus Moses did, according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So he did. Came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its focus, set up its boards, put it in bars, and raised up its pillars. He spread out the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. He brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and portioned off the ark of testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tabernacle of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil. And he set the board in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across from the table on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lifted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil, and he burned sweet incense on it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle. He put the altar of burnt offerings before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meetings, and offered up on it the burnt offering, grain offering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting. And when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, hung up the screen, the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, and the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. Life lessons, Exodus 40:35. The glory of the Lord, the glory. Man, there had to be something to see. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Wow. A similar phenomenon occurred when Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem. God wanted to leave no doubts among his people that he would be with them as promised. The glory of the Lord. Man, that had to be something to see. Fill the tabernacle. Life lessons, Exodus 40:38. The cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire. I mean, they saw the fire. The fire was over it by night. With such a continuous and obvious sign of the Lord guiding presence, we might wonder why the Israelite ever doubted his leading. Yet we have his spirit within us. And how many of us ever doubt his guiding? The glory of the Lord was with them. Like lesson, Exodus 39 and 42. According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. God calls us to obey him in all things, whether we understand all of his commands or not. The people carefully carried out all of Moses' instructions, even down to the little details that might have seemed crucial to them, that might have not have seemed crucial to them, even the washing of Aaron and his son. Everything had to be just so. I mean, God is a particular God, and he wants you to carry out his orders. I mean, look at all the gold and the cubits, and every thing had to be done just so. And as God commanded Moses, they did everything. I said, man, this is really something. They did every single thing, the blue, the purple, the scarlet thread. They made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place. They had to do things just the way God wanted it done, gold, blue, purple. They beat the gold into thin sheets, cut it into threads. I mean, God is precise, and he wants it done the way he wants it done because God is God. We're not God. We are his creation. God is God. He made us. We didn't make him. God don't need our advice. He made us. Wow. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. And
Mother, what a word.
For being.
And our title today is, What Is That to Us? You see to it. You know, what is that to us? What it is to us is that we follow the instructions of the Lord. What is it
Amen.
To us? That we do what God says do. Moses didn't waver. He didn't change anything. What God said do, that's what he did. You know, we always talk about things being decently done and decent and in order. Moses is the perpetuation of decent and in order. He did what he was told to do, and that was that. He didn't even, don't even think about balking. Don't think about, well, why do we, no, it wasn't a why do we have to do it this way? What can't we do? No, it was, this is what the Lord said. And this is what we're going to do. And that's it, period. And that's how God wants us. You know, it is to us to do what God says do. And then, you know, you see to it. That's what God did. He gave Moses an instruction. Moses saw to it. You know, and as we go into our word this morning, you know, as David is speaking, it's a prophetic word. He is giving a prophetic word on his descendant. And it says, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They pierced my hands and my feet.
My Lord.
A prophetic word on the coming Savior and his crucifixion. And then David goes on to say, I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divided my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. Prophetic word from the 22nd Psalm on what they did to Jesus. And then he goes on to say, but you, O Lord, do not be far from me. All my strength has to help me, hasten to help me, deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. we all feel like we're going through sometimes. But we have to remember, God's got our back. He's got us in our coming in, and he's got us in our going out. And every time we give the enemy credit, telling God, oh, well, no, God's the powerful one. We give it to God. David, all those years before Jesus, spoke everything that would happen. They pierced my hands and my feet. They divided my garments, casting lots. And they pierced them with a sword. What it is to us is that he paid it all for us. He paid it all for us. We can't let everything of the world get to us. When we think about all that Jesus did, it makes everything we're going through seem very small. What all he went through, it makes everything we're going through small. And then as we go into our proverb this morning, please join me in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31. And again, we go from a prophetic word from David to Solomon. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. And we're talking again, the Savior. Jesus has always been there. He has been there since the beginning. He was with the Father in the beginning. And you know, it's like Solomon is using the voice, Jesus is using Solomon to speak his truth. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth, while as yet I had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was there at the beginning, and he will be the one coming on the clouds at the end, establishing his kingdom, because he is his Father's son. He is our Savior. He is our friend. And he loves us. On this day of love, he loved us so much that he gave his life, that he gave his love, that he took the pierced hands and feet. He took the pierced side. He took the crown of thorns. He took it all for us. But then on this day of love, we have to celebrate. Because guess what? He didn't stay dead. He's alive. He is alive in us. He is alive sitting on the right hand of his Father, interceding for us, loving us, about us. Us to come into his presence. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you saints. serve the Lord with gladness. And that's what he wants from us, to serve with gladness, to serve with joy, to be happy, and to love each other. God is not hate, as our word this morning said in our prayer coming out of 1 John. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And when we ever think about hating somebody, remember, God is love. Forgive and let it go, because vengeance is the Lord. Give it to God and let it go. And then as we go into our word this morning, Jesus had to let it go. You know, he didn't talk. Mother, he wasn't saying a mumbling word. He answered the
Amen.
Question he needed to answer. And after that,
Amen.
He didn't have nothing to say. You know,
Amen.
And it says, what is that to us? Watch and see. Because folks want to pass the buck. Well, I don't have nothing to do with that. Yes, you do. The Pharisees and the Sadducees create havoc, threw them stones, lied, cheated. What power? Most of the time, when you go and shake it all out, what is going on is about money, and it's about
mm-hmm.
power. Money
mm-hmm.
and power. And when you shake out all of that, if they don't have the money and if they don't have the power, folks ain't got nothing to do with them. Just like the prodigal son. Party over here had all kind of friends when he had money. But when he got into the pigsty, who did he have? Nobody but his daddy. Nobody.
Amen.
And as we go into this word this morning, for those that are just joining us, thank you for joining Blog Talk Radio. We're moving forward with Minister Bridget. I'm Pastor Bridget, Minister Valerie, but just call me Minister B. And as we go, and it says this, when morning came, all the chief priests. Now, everybody coming out now. Mother, they coming out of the woodworks. Because
Amen.
That little upstart, star rabbi, coming in, cleaning out our house, where we know we was selling. We was making some good money selling the drugs. Selling all the stuff. And then he gonna come in knocking over tables, telling our vendors they can't sell in the church. Talking about this should be a house of prayer. What he talking about? This is our house and we in charge. And here he come tearing up stuff. We gonna get him. Okay.
Amen.
You know, gonna give his disciple 30 pieces of silver. We already know what happened in the garden. Judas Iscariot comes, kisses them on the jaw, and the next thing you know, we at this situation. He done been beat on. He done been spat upon. Peter's denied him 3 times, and now we dealing with this. They're going to take him to Pilate, because now we want to pass the buck. We want to say, it ain't about us. You know, we're going to give
Amen.
It over to the Romans now. So let's see what happens. So get your Bibles, family, because this is Bible study. And we're in Matthew mm-hmm. chapter 27. And it says this, when morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, now Judas is feeling some kind of way. Now he's being convicted. He's being convicted because the whole point of turning Jesus in the first place, again, shaking it all down, greed and money. He got mad because Jesus didn't allow him to take that alabaster jar of oil and sell it to pocket the money. So he got
Amen.
A little upset because when Jesus going to tell him that this woman, talk about her, when we could have got all kind of money for the poor. And then Jesus going to tell him, hey, the poor going to be with us always. But this is getting me ready for my burial. And he got mad because, again, can't get no money. You know, I can't go sell this and pocket a little bit off the top. jealousy and envy and greed came into the spirit of Judas, so he's going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. And now the conviction is happening because now, wait a minute, they're going to kill him. I wasn't meaning for that. I wasn't meaning for him to die. And now conviction is setting in. Because you know when you do something wrong, God will convict you. So Judas is going through that conviction period. And it says, then Judas, his betrayer of sin that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And then, this is our title for this morning. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Can you talk about cruel? What's that to us? We didn't tell you to come and sell out your boss, sell out your pastor. We didn't come and tell you to sell out the rabbi. We didn't come and tell you to sell out the Son of God. We didn't tell you to do that. What's that to us? You see to it. And then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. It was so much conviction that he killed himself. But not understanding that that was because he was fulfilling the prophetic word. It was, again, a prophetic word. And it says, but the chief priest took the silver. Now, wait a minute. And said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood, letting you know they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. And they consulted together and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. That's why Jeremiah cried. Because he saw so much. Nobody ever wanted to be a prophet. I'm a prophetess. I'm a prophet. Better understand that a true prophet and a true prophetess go through. They see stuff they don't want to know. They hear stuff they don't want to hear. They go through. You seeing the party over here, prophet? And if you give me money, prophet, they not real. They are proper liars, and they in it for the bucks. They in it for the money. They are not in it for the Lord of God, for Lord God. Because understand, all you got to do is go through the word. John the Baptist, a prophet, lost his head because he told the truth and spoke truth to power. Amen. A true prophet may lose his head. But you got the false ones out there, and they'll tell a lie in a minute. We talked about that yesterday. Just lie, and then you know that they're lying because the truth always comes out. And you can find out just from what they said, they lied, proper liars, and they lying for profit. Come on now. But Jeremiah, a true prophet, everything he said came to truth. And it said, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Everything that prophet spoke came to pass. And then it goes on to tell us, now Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Guess what? Only time he talked. And Jesus said to him, it is as you say.
Amen.
It is as you say. You know, and they said, what is that to us? It is as you say. I am who I am. And as we continue, it says this, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. So I ain't got to answer these liars. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered them not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? But he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. Come on now. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. It's called a mob mentality. It only takes one little word. And it spread, and then you have all kind of crazy. Then it says, the governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Now, just a week ago, they were screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And now they're asking you to do what? Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And they all said to him, let him be crucified. Hosanna, 1 week, crucify the next week. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? Cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that atonement was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. In other words, I'm not doing it. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, I mean, beaten him with all kind of chains and whips, tearing up his skin, he delivered him to be crucified. You see to it. What is that to us? The things that happen, happen for a purpose and a reason. And as we go to back to life lessons from this word this morning, it says this, he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Matthew 27:14. Pilate was used to prisoners cowering in his presence. This one did not, and it unnerved him. Isaiah had predicted that the Messiah would keep silent before his accusers, and Jesus did exactly that. Isaiah 53:7. If you get opportunity, just go read all of Isaiah chapter 53. It will take you there. In his thoughts, Matthew 27:12, there is no doubt that as Jesus stood trial in front of Pilate, he was completely, while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Think about that. As the false accusations were being flung at him, the Son of God didn't call a battalion of angels to his aid. He didn't curse the priests and elders as he had the fig tree that didn't hear, that didn't bear fruit. He did not do anything to defend himself. He answered nothing. Hebrews 12:2, help us understand Christ's mindset. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus endured it all for the joy set before him. It was enough to stop him from answering his accusers. It was sufficient to keep him focused. Yet what was this overwhelming joy? Of course, it was doing the Father's will. However, it was also you. It was me. It was you. It was us to admonish us. Walk in love. Come on now, on this love day. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us, given himself for us. Galatians 2:20, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That should be our declaration. Jesus loved me best. He loved me and gave himself for me. That's love. Think about that as you celebrate Valentine's Day. And I like to say Love Day. As we celebrate Love Day, love is not simply red hearts, banquets of flowers, bouquets of flowers, and chocolate. True love is unconditional. True love reaches out. True love gives itself sacrificially. Perhaps you have a special loved one with which to celebrate today. Or perhaps today is one of the loneliest days of the year for you. Perhaps you are wondering if anyone is thinking about you. The answer is yes, Jesus is. He's thinking about you today, and he thought about you back then. He thought about you as he stood trial, and his love for you kept him focused on the goal to reconcile you to God, to show you his love eternally. So today, remember that you are Christ's joy, his beloved, and have a happy and wonderful, blessed Love Day. As Dr. Stanley told us, I just don't like the word Valentine. I just like the word love, because I like to go back to Corinthians, and I like to look at how love is patient and kind. You know, I want to have that 1 Corinthians 13:13 kind of love. You know, I want to have that kind of love from God. You know, I want to be loved to the point where the greatest thing is love. Because when you love somebody, when you can love each other, you can love God. Because how can I say I love God and hate my brother? God's already told me that I'm a hypocrite. So I can't say I love him and hate somebody else. So that's why folks look at you crazy when they're like, how can you like them? Because you know what? God likes me. And God knows I am messed up. I have been messed up from the floor up. But God loved me anyway. And that's why I can love others who have treated me horribly. I can love them, but I can love them from afar. Come on now. God ain't told us to be stupid. Matthew 27:19. Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. Pilate's wife's like, let me give you a warning, husband. Don't get involved with this mess. This is messy, and we are not getting involved with it. You know, the wife said, my name is West, and I'm not in this mess. And she was telling her husband, don't get in it. And it said, what did God tell Pilate's wife in this dream? What did he intend to accomplish through it? How should the dream have influenced events? We don't know, but we do know that God speaks to those who with open ears. And that is the word. God speaks to those with open ears. Are your ears open today? What is that to us? What is that to us on this day of love? What is it? It's that we got to love each other. We got to care about each other. And when it says you see to it, we got to see to it that we love just like God loves us. Don't let anybody put hate in your heart. Shake it off. Give it to God and keep on moving. Because when you allow folks to live in your brain that have done you wrong, you're not giving God a chance to live in there. You're not giving God a chance to live in your heart. You got to shake off all the foolish and go straight forward and say, you know what? Devil, you are a liar, and there is no truth in you. I'm not listening to you. I know who loves me, and his name is Jesus, because he gave his life for me. And I'm blessed, as I've said, that I had a great love for 32 years plus, and I'm grateful for it. But I'm grateful that Jesus loved me best, and he loves me today. He loved me yesterday, and he'll love me forever. And that is the love that is so deep that you can do nothing more than say, thank you, God. And so we're going to go really, really quick to a word from us, Sister Carolyn. And anybody who has a word from God that would like to speak, now is the time to push that one on your phone. And a word from our sister in Christ is this: celebrating a day of love. Remember that God loves you, and so do I. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Happy Valentine's Day. And I'm just going to change it a little bit to say Happy Love Day. And I want to say it one more time. Good morning, family. Celebrating a day of love. Remember that God loves you. So do I. And I got to add, and there is nothing you can do about it, but love God as much as he loves you. And I'm just all filled up because I just get all giddy for Jesus because I know that he loves me. And that's the greatest love anybody could ever have is the love of God. So, you know, don't let anybody knock you off your square today. Don't let anybody steal your joy. Don't let anybody tell you that you are not important and that you are not loved, because you are loved. You are loved by the Most High. You are loved because he is absolute. And Mother Valerie, just because it is Love Day, I just have to go there to this word of God. And it says this to go with me, y'all. It's Bible study, and I got my big Bible out now because, you know, it's that important thing. You know, my big Bible that's got the King James, the New King James, the NIV, the New Translation, my big Bible. And it just says, and I'm going to King James because, you know, this is a King James kind of day. So it's the way of love. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, which we know is love, I am become a sounding brass as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, again, that love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, again, that's love. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Can we say it, Mother? In the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass to face. No, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as shall also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, charity, and we call it love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And we know that it is love. The greatest of these of faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hope and love. Of all these three, of these is love and charity. Charity to each other. Charity to your brothers. Charity to your sisters. Charity to God. We got to love. Love will conquer hate. Every time, when you love and when you are loved, watch God work in your life. That's all I got this morning. If there's anybody that's got a word, now is the time to push that number one on your phone or to call 213-943-3597. Again.
A word from Carolyn.
We already did. But we'll do it again.
Yeah,
good morning, one more time. Celebrating a day of love. Remember that God loves you, and so do I. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Happy Valentine's Day. And as Dr. Stanley so eloquently put it, so today, remember that you are Christ's joy, his beloved. And we say to you today, Mother Valerie and I, have a blessed and wonderful love day. Remember, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he loves you more than you can imagine. And all he asks is to love him back. Have a great day, family. Please continue.
You know what,
Pastor Rita, in your prayers? Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to talk about Pilate. Pontius Pilate didn't really want to kill Jesus. That's why he went and washed his hands. And he didn't really, he said, why do you want to kill this just man? And they kept on hollering, crucify him, crucify him. Not only that, he didn't listen to his wife. His wife, God came to her in a dream and have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. God told Pilate's wife to tell Pilate, have nothing. He's a just man. And Pilate didn't want to kill Jesus. He wanted to let him go. But instead of listening to his wife and listening to God and his own wishes, he listened to the people. And the people said, crucify him, crucify him. And he said, I washed my hands of this. I don't want to do this. But he actually listened to the people, and he did it. I said, you know, that's amazing. If he had listened to his wife, but he didn't.
He
and when Pilate said that he could not prevail at all,
I feel like he did listen to her because he washed his hands of it. He didn't. He wasn't the one that said crucify. He was the one that said, I wash my hands of it. I give it back to you. He said, what is that to us? He said, you see to it. And he told him, You know, he said, that's you. You see to it. He's like, I'm not in this. So he did do. He did listen to his wife. He wasn't in it. He said, you see to it. He told the folks that, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and all these people, you see to it. I'm not in there.
Okay.
He washed his hands
up.
You know, but it had to go forth because it was prophetic, and Jesus had to do what he had to do. So if Pilate had said, no, I'm not going to crucify him, then we may not be sitting here today. So we have to remember
Amen. All
of that is because everything is for a purpose and a reason. And we have to do
okay. What
God says do. And God already knew his son. Jesus came for the purpose of crucifixion. Jesus came for the purpose of dying for our sins. He had an assignment that he was going to complete regardless whether Pilate had anything to do with it or not. His assignment was to take our sins to the cross. And that's what he did.
Okay.
So, you know, we are blessed. You know, but Pilate's wife was like, don't you give the order. You get wash your hands of this. We are not in it. And that's why he told the Jews, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it.
Amen.
You see to it. What is it to us? That he paid it all in love.
Amen.
And we see to it that we love him back. And that's the word. And it's time to go. And I have to say, I love you all, and there's nothing we can do about it, but love the Lord God who loved you best and loved you first, created you in his image. Keep loving the Lord and watch him work in your life. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today. Don't let anybody make you mad. Say, I give it to God and keep on moving with joy in your heart and a pip in your step, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a joy in my heart and a pip in my step. Because guess what? I know that I'm loved because I'm loved by the best husband you could ever have, and his name is Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for my new husband. Thank you for Jesus who loves me best and loves me most. Have a great day, family. And just know he loves y'all too. Come on now.
Amen.
All of us widows, we got the same husband, and his name is Jesus. And he loves us, each and every one, individually and collectively, because he gave his life for us. Have a great and wonderful
Amen.
Day, family. It's about a little love thing that we all understand. because we love Jesus.
Amen.
He loves us. And there's nothing we can do about it but love him back. Have a great day, family. Mother Valerie, what is it?
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
And again, we thank God for Mother Rita. We ask God to continue watching over her lovely heart. And we thank her for it's a wrap, because we wouldn't be wrapping it up if it had not been for Mother Rita. So we love you, Mother Rita, and may God bless you and watch over you. It's a wrap.
It's
a wrap, Mother.